the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, who else could it be? We're back at the Paracast, considering a fascinating episode we had last week with the ever politically correct and super smooth Jan Harzan. He's a smooth talker, isn't he?
Well, you know, Jan is Jan. He's a really sweet guy. I found him quite, you know, engaging. I think somebody mentioned on the forums that he missed his calling. He should have been a politician. And I guess he's finally found a political sort of forum and venue to be smooth and engaging and politically correct. I thought he did a good job. I found his account of his childhood, encounter with his brother really fascinating. I'm still scratching my head over it, but, I can see why someone as high-powered as him would have a lifelong interest in the subject matter if, you know, something like that occurred. It was quite fascinating to me.
Isn't it interesting? We can go to the second part of the interview in a moment, but isn't it interesting how many people get interested in UFOs and other subjects because they have some kind of unusual encounter when they are between 5 and 10 years of age?
Yeah, well, I'm one of them, so I definitely know what you're saying on that one.
With me, it wasn't so much the encounter, which I never had. It is the fact that my late brother left a copy of one of Major Keogh's books on his coffee table. This is back in his apartment on Carroll Street in Brooklyn. I can't believe I remember that. And he was at work. My mom and I went to visit his home, and I saw the book, and I was intrigued. And I asked his wife, can I borrow that? And she said, go ahead. Now, at no time did he ever leave a book for me to look at, just this one time. And I was hooked. And that's how it all started. Let's look at the second part, the other shoe dropping with Jan Harzan, politically correct. So I asked him, because listeners were concerned, what about having people like Stephen Greer as a featured speaker at the MUFON annual conference? Do you really think that sets forth a good public position for MUFON? Because you have to be politically correct. Do you want to attract people who aren't just part of the field, but outsiders who might be interested in UFOs? And there's, by the way, a new survey had it that 48% of the people believe in UFOs and possible ET visitors. So that's the latest survey. All right. Now, he kind of ignored all the baggage that Greer has. It says, well, he's done some good work. I just think he's overlooking the obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what I know. We did press him a little on that. And you know, I think, Jan, as I mentioned, I think in the way I formulated the question, I think I gave him an out by saying, I know you're trying to get butts in the seats and stuff. And Greer does have a certain amount of appeal to a lot of uninformed sort of wanna believe types out there. And it was similar with the 2011 UFO Congress, where Greer was there and Stan Romanek and other people who have really put a lot of effort and energy into self-promotion, getting the word out about their particular take on the subject and their, kind of ego, I think, driven rationale for, you know, what they believe and what they propound to their audience. And that does have a tremendous amount of appeal out there to people that have been educated by the media and by self-promoters. You've got to draw a line somewhere. And I think that drawing the line and not having someone like a Greer at your conference, I think is, you know, it's a hard one for people like Harzan and others to make that determination. Sure, Greer has done a lot of good work, but that was, 10, 15 years ago. We're much further down the river now. And, I think the negatives vastly outweigh the positives when it comes to people like Greer, Sean David Morton, another big draw at conferences still. And it baffles me that people are able to overlook these glaring inconsistencies, problems, potential problems surrounding the issue of integrity. And it's unfortunate that he he's, you know, I think he's in a position of really trying to get people to shell out the bucks and attend the conference so that they can continue. And I think the whole MUFON model is outmoded, and they're going to have to come up with a way to integrate themselves into social media and attract a younger, more vibrant, creative, you know, audience out there and membership. It's I think we're at a real critical point in the field of ufology, and for groups like the UFO Congress and, you know, MUFON and other conferences to have these questionable characters up there, I think is doing themselves a disservice, and they're helping sink this field further and further.
And the thing is, you have to look at the demographic here. What is Dr. Greer's demographic? I don't think it's the younger people.
No.
Not at all. I don't think he gets the 25 to 49 age bracket. I don't think those people care about Stephen Greer or about what he did 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and now with Art Bell coming back on the air on XM Radio, of course, the gruesome foursome that he has lined up for his first week of broadcasts, the same cast of characters, Greer, Hoagland, Dames, you know, it's really sad. And I think it's people are trying to, you know, these shows and these conference organizers, I think that they're stuck in like chipmunks in the, you know, the little revolving wheel in the cage. I think they're just spinning their wheels and digging themselves deeper and deeper.
And I asked him a very key question. I said, okay, MUFON's been around since the late 1960s. What progress have you made? And I really don't think I ever got a satisfactory answer, because the answer is they haven't. Yeah. There is no progress. And if you get a few more bodies in a conference by having Stephen Greer or Paula Harris there, I don't think that helps the cause. I don't think that attracts the kind of people you want. Because when you have people like that, and people realize that these people have problems with the things they say, like Paula Harris will tell you that Billy Meyer is the real deal. Okay, when you have people like that getting in there and representing the field, these people are representing UFO field. The people who come there, unless they're engaged in this activity, they don't know from who these people are.
No.
They have no idea about the baggage, or they may look up Stephen Greer later and say, oh, this guy's doing some wacko things. Maybe everybody involved in the UFO field is doing some wacko things. Therefore, why should we bother with them? Because they're doing wacko things.
Exactly. And it's pushing academia, it's pushing the scientific community further and further away from the real core of ufology, which I would consider to be more grounded, scientific, healthily skeptical, and attempting to pull the field forward and do real good, grounded, hard data research. And because of these grandstanders out there who are pontificating these, you know, uncorroborated stories, reports, and opinions, it just has the obvious effect of driving away serious scientific interest in the public arena in these subjects. We know behind the scenes that there's undoubtedly, as we'll find out today with our guests, there is a lot of interest behind the scenes that is below the public radar. But in terms of trying to attract scientists and academics to the field publicly, it's a death knell for the careers because of this just fuzzy logic and ungrounded, uncorroborated sort of thinking. I just have problems with it.
Today on the PowerCast, we'll be looking at The Real Area 51, which is a book subtitled The Secret History of Wright-Patterson. That's Dayton, Ohio. That's not near Art Bell's territory in Nevada. The book's written by Thomas Carey and Donald Schmidt. Donald Schmidt will be joining us in the PowerCast to talk about the book. Lots more to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Every time you eat a cooked food, your body responds by producing an increase in circulating white blood cells. This happens because nature designed us to eat food that is undamaged at the molecular level. When we heat food to normal cooking temperatures, we change the shape of the molecules into shapes the body cannot use. The body now looks at them as toxins and allergens. In an effort to protect itself from this irritant, the body intelligently increases the amount of circulating white blood cells to act as garbage collectors. The white blood cells gobble up all the unusable damaged food particles to neutralize their cell damaging properties. This puts stress on your organs of elimination, and your body is subject to cell damage and inflammation. If you'd like to start experiencing the benefits of undamaged protein in your diet, give One World Way a try. It is a truly undamaged protein powder that will thrill your tastes and every cell of your body. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're going to look inside. The real Area 51 as opposed to what? The fake Area 51? We'll find out what that means. We have Donald Schmidt. He's co-author of Inside the Real Area 51, The Secret History of Wright-Patterson. And he wrote that book with Thomas Carey. Now, I noticed in our schedule of shows for the Paracast, the last time you were on, Don Schmidt, it was 6 years ago. It feels...
And that would have been for Witness to Roswell, our...
That's right.
Last best-selling book, right.
Okay. So it's a bestseller, is it?
Yes, and the revised edition was also a bestseller. In fact, the first one, 2007, was the number one selling UFO book in the world for 2007 through 2008. So much for Roswell being passé, I guess.
It's the kind of thing you can never give up talking about. I mean, we've tried. literally speaking, we're not going to have another Roswell show. And we tell our listeners, and in our forums at forum.theparacast.com, they say, we don't want to hear about Roswell anymore. Don't do the Roswell thing. Okay, we won't. Until Kevin Randall's back on or someone's back on. We've also covered, of course, in recent months, Aztec. We had Scott Ramsey on the show. We had Scott Ramsey and Kevin Randall debating one another.
That's right. I heard that. I listened. Yes.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you, before we progress with the real Area 51, what's your take on Aztec?
I am often asked that. In fact, I did an interview in Arizona, when Wendell Stevens was still alive, because they were doing some work on the case, even pre-Ramsey, as far as their release of any information. And I just had to be quite frank in stating that we had a number of colleagues through the years that had passed through Aztec, had tried to come up with some even secondhand information, and it always came up wanting. But if I accept Roswell, if I accept that anything of an unearthly nature ever crashed, ever took place, I do have to remain objective, have to remain open-minded to other possibilities. I just can't discount and then stand up and say, but Roswell happened, but I disavow any other such possibilities. So I will at least remain honest in that position. I haven't looked into it. God knows we're busier than ever with Roswell. And I may actually come up with a conclusion should I spend the time looking into it. I know Kevin has. And I know he also feels that he didn't come as prepared to the debate as he should have. And I would be in the exact same boat right now, that I'm far from qualified to voice an opinion. And opinions come a dime a dozen.
Well, the thing I think that bothered me and Chris and Kevin is that the paper trail does not exist prior to that one book by Frank Scully.
The Scully book, yes, that's correct.
The Scully book set the case for Aztec, and that was the beginning of everything. And if you go into Aztec, you don't find the prehistory. It's not there. And you think it's a small town. And my impression of small town America, and I'm from Brooklyn, so that's not quite the small town. But my impression is that in small town America, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody knows everybody. Everything that goes on, they know about. They know about the divorces. They know who's cheating on one another. They know about all the happy events. They know about the sad events. And if a UFO crashes in their backyard or a few miles away, they know about it.
You are absolutely correct. I do live in a small town. It's grown since my childhood, but it's one of the things that really keeps you on your toes, for the fact that if you so much as come home late at night on your wife, the whole street knows about it.
You're not telling us anything here, are you?
Yeah. No. I always.
Boy, did you hear how defensive he just got?
I always throw that out. You know,
but it's true. It's true. Don, Chris here. I absolutely agree. I was in a small Colorado town for 13 years. When I arrived, there were 155 people there. And I'm sorry, if something had crashed outside of town, everybody would have known about it. And it would have created this huge kind of, storied piece of history in the town. I mean, this would be big news. And I just, that's one of the things that I really have a problem with Aztec. I've been through Aztec.
I would agree.
Familiar with the whole area there.
And I haven't even bothered to, as often as I've been, and we're talking now over 100 times I've been to New Mexico in the past 25 years, I've never even bothered passing through the town, because I do agree with you that something of that a scale of operation, I don't care if it was the military retrieving a downed aircraft, the whole town would have known about it. I'll cite the example of the Southern Capitan Mountains west of Corona, which is the nearest township to the debris field from Roswell. And there was a small plane crash. And the whole area for probably 50 square miles was, venturing up into those foothills just to pick up a souvenir, pick up anything, because word got out. So that is the most damning argument. I do agree. as far as Aztec or any such case of that nature. I had the same situation with Kingman. I've been to Kingman, Arizona.
Right. We did a show on Kingman, I don't know, a year or two back, and I don't think I was really convinced about anything there.
And I've been there. I had the local newspaper, you know, even post a small little blurb that if anybody had any information in regards to anything dating back to the early 50s, 53 supposedly when this all went down, and not so much as a third-hand uncle who heard of anything. You know, White Sands Proving Grounds, and I think it's one of the things that stimulated the legend, the myth that something even happened out in the plains of San Agustin of New Mexico, west of Socorro, that whole area, Magdalena and so on. And there had been a plane crash out there in 1945, 2 years supposedly before Barney Barnett talked about stumbling upon, you know, this downed craft and some bodies. And when we actually talked to his former boss, Fleck Danley, and he stated, he told us that, well, Barney didn't start talking about this until around 1950. And he never gave us a time period. He just said that it happened out on the flats. Well, the plains of San Agustin. There are a lot of areas through the southwest that are called the flats. And for every time we had a lead or a possible, you know, story or anecdote regarding something out on the flats, we came back to this airplane crash in 1945, which had, you know, strewn wreckage for miles. Bodies were recovered, you know, hundreds of feet away. Area was cordoned off. The military secured the site. So it had all the makings of what eventually Bill Moore and Charles Berlitz and Stan Friedman would tie into 1947 with Roswell, and especially in wanting to tie in any information regarding bodies back in 1980 when Roswell incident came out.
We'll get into more in just a moment. We have Donald Schmidt, co-author with Tom Carey, of Inside the Real Area 51, The Secret History of Wright-Patterson, and we'll dig deep into that in a moment. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if it happened? The lights go out and the power doesn't come back. Could you provide your family with the basic necessities of life? We can teach you how at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo. Sunday, September 29th at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington. Learn about growing all your own food, herbal medicine, emergency medical and dental techniques, water well hand pumps, seed saving, emergency radio communication for beginners, and other life-saving information to provide you with the knowledge to survive in the direst of situations. There's a wide variety of vendors offering the latest preparedness products and services. Plus, visit the Longevity Booth. The Sustainable Preparedness Expo is an event the entire family will enjoy. For tickets and registration info, go to sustainablepreparedness.com. Enter promo code GCN to save $3 on tickets. Don't wait to be a victim. Plan ahead with the Sustainable Preparedness Expo, Sunday, September 29th at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Greater Seattle.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Donald Schmidt returns after a six-year absence. For no reason other than, I guess we didn't invite him or something. He's co-author of Inside the Real Area 51. We see we attack everybody on the Paracast, even when they're here. But seriously speaking, what really did it for me, and let me basically preface this by the fact that I like Scott Ramsey. I met him just once. We had lunch a few months back in Tempe, Arizona. He was mm-hmm. in Arizona for business, so we went to a really nice Middle East restaurant that Chris knows about because he once joined me at the same restaurant. Anyway, very pleasant, very sincere about what he's doing. Now, there was an article, a three-part article published over at Kevin Randall's blog, A Different Perspective, in February yes. of this year, by yes. a former resident of Aztec, New Mexico, who was a teenager when this supposedly happened in 1948. He doesn't remember it. He no. went back to his 60th high school reunion. He's Class a guy in his mid to late 70s. Nobody heard anything about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody remembered anything about it. And there you go. That's the beginning and end of it there. The people there didn't know. The only evidence you can have other than a couple of people who claim to have seen something is this concrete slab, and how do you assume that the only purpose for which it could be used was to transport a spaceship?
Yes, there you go. Yes, that quantum leap of total assumption, pretty much what you have also as far as with Kingman, that just because there's a certain peak that seems to be shaved off a little bit, and they found some remnants from some military operations, some mess kit and some cans and things. Well, obviously they were out there to retrieve a flying saucer. You know, the difference, you talked about the high school reunion in Aztec. There was a rodeo within a day after the wicked thunderstorm for the July weekend. And we talked to numerous witnesses. This is before Brazel, the rancher who discovered the debris field, went waltzing into the sheriff's office in Roswell reporting this crash. Well, anyway, the day before, a couple of days before, actually, at the rodeo, they were passing pieces around. There were people who were already examining and questioning, what is this, you know, strange-looking metal? And we've talked to such people. And the same would take place another year later at the Corona High School prom the next May. Roswell happening in July of 1947. So in May of 1948, there was talk from a number of the students that somebody had a piece at the prom and was passing it around, and everybody was curious as to what this stuff really was. No one could identify it.
Well, Don, so, that begs the question, what happened to these souvenir pieces that were alleged to have been passed around? How come we've never been able to latch onto that? You would think that this would be something that would be treasured in a family, and somebody would at some point come forward and say, hey, here's one of those pieces.
Well, the best example would be the rancher's own son, Bill Brazo Jr. He would work the ranch, and especially after heavy rains, he would typically ride even through that particular pasture. He found enough pieces to fill up a cigar box. In fact, one of the pieces he described, as far as silken strand of material that he could hold a lighter up to one end and the light would emit out the opposing end. Well, he's talking fiber optics, if that would be the case, back in 1947. Yes, fiber optics wouldn't come into vogue until around 1970. But the most fascinating piece that many of the witnesses have described to us, as even his wife Shirley described, as he would come in from the ranch and sit down to dinner each evening, and as she would set down his food, he would pull out this one piece of metal from his leather chaps night after night, and she would watch how, no matter how he would try to cut on it with his buck knife, or he would try to poke the knife through, he'd hold a lighter up to it, no matter what he did with it. He could almost crumble it up or crease it, or he'd hand it to her, and she would do the same. And then he would lay it down, and it would just smooth right out on the surface of the table. Now, he would make the mistake. He was playing pool one night at Wade's Bar in Corona, and somebody would bring this up. Somebody asked that very question, as you just did, Chris. Did you ever find anything? If you did, whatever became of it? And he made the mistake of admitting, as he put it, well, I found a few scraps. Well, who should be at his door the very next morning but a captain? And we identified that individual because Brazel remembered the name as Armstrong. And we were able to track down later, he became a Major Emerson Armstrong, who worked out of Fort Bliss. He was in charge of UFO investigation for the Southwest in the early 50s. Well, anyway, Armstrong and three NCOs, non-commissioned officers, were at Brazel's door and basically said, we know what you have and you will give it to us. And they had him escort them out to the site. They looked around a little bit, confident there was nothing else out there. And they made him swear, just as his father had, that if should he ever find anything else, he would immediately report it to the Air Force. Now, this was 2 years after the incident.
His name should have been Strong Arm, not Armstrong.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and as you guys both know, back then, especially after World War II, the military walked on water. Patriotism was at an all-time high. It didn't take much to convince anyone that whatever the military said or requested of you, You obeyed.
It's not like today. We don't believe the government. We don't believe the military. We don't believe the police. We don't believe anyone.
No, we're cynics. We don't trust anybody, and rightfully so. It's a world turned upside down in that everyone is out for their own personal agenda, and as a result, I think back then, especially those people who truly were the salt of the earth, these old ranchers who no one could accuse them of becoming rich or greedy or looking for fame and fortune, they basically just wanted the government to leave them alone. But if the government did come knocking at their door, aside from thinking they were revenuers who were there to collect, some extra taxes, it was a case of, yes, sir, how can I help you? And basically, how can I get you out of here as soon as possible?
Hey, as soon as possible, let's go right to the book. Inside the Real Area 51, it's about Wright-Patterson. Now, the first time I heard about Wright-Patterson, Donald Schmidt, it was the home of Project Blue Book, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And so, before that, Project Grudge, and before that, Project Sign.
Exactly. So this was the center of UFO investigation. But you wonder why Dayton, Ohio, and not Washington, D.C.?
Well, first of all, you had two adjoining bases back in 1947. You had Wright Field and you had Patterson Field. And what was strategically important back in 47 and post-World War II in general, you had T2. That was the engineering division, which would eventually become foreign technology. This is where they did all the reverse engineering of captured weaponry, armory, aircraft, and the like, from the Germans, the Japanese, even Soviet MiGs during the Cold War. So it made perfect sense that if you had something of either foreign design or something beyond that, it would go to Wright Field, at least initially for analysis and breakdown. And so it could be documented not only by witnesses from Roswell, but also the press, that very first press release that went out, which stated that the materials were being flown to higher headquarters. Well, the higher headquarters was Wright Field. And even Marcel, the intelligence officer, Major Jesse Marcel, when he was ordered on Tuesday afternoon, July 7th, to transport some of the wreckage to Wright Field by his base commander, Colonel William Blanchard, they made a preliminary stop at Carswell Army Airfield, and that is where Brigadier General Roger Ramey had the famous, or infamous, as we might call it, weather balloon press conference.
We'll talk about weather balloons and more, and especially about Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Inside the Real Area 51 is the book with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelter should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
It's the Mountain House Super Sale, right now at BePrepared.com. This month only, every can is 40% off. Try the delectable flavor of scrambled eggs with bacon, only $20.39, regularly $33.99. Or taste Mountain House Beef Stroganoff, normally $28.49, now only $17.09. In the mood for dessert, try a number 10 can of raspberry crumble for only $16.49, usually priced at $27.49. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we continue with the progression of this story. The book is Inside the Real Area 51. Donald Schmidt, the co-author, joins us on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. So now this is the journey of what allegedly was picked up in Roswell, New Mexico, taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. All right, so you're at the point where they did the infamous weather balloon story.
Yes, and not only Marcel is ordered to pose with the substituted weather balloon. Now, I can say that because General Ramey's adjutant, his chief of staff, was the late Brigadier General Thomas J. DeBose. And DeBose, when we interviewed him in the early 90s, and he signed a sworn affidavit stating that they were the ones who substituted, who switched the balloon for the real material. He stated quite frankly, and we have him on tape stating that the balloon part of it was a hoax. That they were instructed, specifically he was instructed by General Clements McMullen at the Pentagon to get the press off of General Ramey's back. In other words, they needed to shut this down as soon as possible. And it did. It worked. Nonetheless, as even General Ramey canceled the continuation of the flight onto Wright Field, the FBI Bureau office in Dallas put out a telex at 6:17 Central Standard Time that evening, where it described the hexagonal radar reflector kite and the neoprene rubber balloon that supposedly explained Roswell. But they stated that based on their telephonic conversations between their FBI office and Wright Field, that that belief was not borne out. So in other words, they were refuting the balloon explanation. And they went on to state that the materials were still going on to Wright Field. Now, the press at that time also, you know, stated whether it was from New York or Washington that the materials did eventually go to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio. And then we have witnesses also at the base, such as former base commander Brigadier General Arthur Exxon, who was a student at the Institute of Technology at Wright Field in 1947. And he described how they were told in advance to prepare the labs at T2, that the material was coming in. And Exxon would never see the material, but he would hear the conversations from the people that he worked with, the lab technicians, who described that upon the material's arrival and first examination, that they thought that it had to be a Soviet design because no one could recognize it, no one could identify it. But according to Exxon, that he was told later that after all of the stress and the fracture testing, all of the pressure testing, all the analysis, that there was a unanimous conclusion at T2 at Wright Field that the materials were from space, that they were not manufactured here. Now, I met with Colonel Robert Friend just a few months ago out in Los Angeles, and he was the second last director of Project Blue Book before Hector Quintanilla, the final director of the project. And we were talking about Wright Field. And I was surprised when he immediately just, you know, snapped, well, I was there in 47. I was at Wright Field. And, yes, we were told the materials were coming in from Roswell. I didn't see the materials, but we knew they were coming in. And I said, well, that's interesting. You feel that they would have brought in materials of a weather balloon for analysis, you know, after they had been explained away at Fort Worth. And he laughed and he says, well, we all know it wasn't a weather balloon. Now, Colonel Friend believes that it was an errant atomic bomb, that it was a broken arrow, which is interesting because we really didn't have any in our arsenal at that time in 47. Even Roswell, which was the headquarters of the 509th Bomb Group, the first atomic bomb wing in the world, they didn't even have any bombs. They were doing tests. They were bomb drop testing and loading. They were using sand barrels. Talked to enough of the crewmen who were involved with these exercises, and there just weren't any bombs in the arsenal at that time.
Okay, we understand this guy is not and never was a UFO believer.
Right. But interesting that he doesn't accept the Mogul balloon explanation. He believes it was an atomic bomb, that it still created enough of a level of attention and extreme recovery operation, the containment, the cover-up, and to this day he believes that it's still due to the fact that it was a broken arrow. He can't prove it, but it continues to demonstrate that. And as both of you would have to admit, that every time someone comes out with a new theory on Roswell, the press, you know, they just jump at it. They just latch onto it. It's like, well, I thought it was Mogul. I thought it was anthropomorphic wooden crash dummies. And yet, as we refer to them as the theory of the month, it seems like every time, whether it's Popular Mechanics or Annie Jacobson with her book on Area 51, it doesn't matter how ludicrous the explanation, the press latches right onto it. So, again, so much for Roswell, always, you know, dropping off the radar. It still seems to be very much, at least, a curiosity as to what actually did happen.
So it's your position here that the remnants of this UFO were taken to Wright-Patterson. Is that where that wreckage is today?
It's not my position, Gene. It can be documented. There's enough documentation, even in the press at that time, that whatever was recovered did end up, it was transferred to Wright Field. As far as it's still being there, from all indications, it's long been gone. There are still witnesses who describe certain hangars, certain areas that were off limits, suggesting that materials, that certain evidence may have been there through the early 80s. But beyond that, there's nothing, there's no testimony, nothing that would suggest anything over the past 30 years.
Well, Don, let me break in here real quick. One of the things that I really enjoyed in your book is how you actually take the reader almost on a guided tour of some of the restricted areas at Wright-Patt. And I was really taken by how you corrected some kind of pop culture misnomers, most specifically Hangar 18. Why don't you give our listeners kind of a sense of how Wright-Patt developed from that period in the 40s up until now? You and Thomas have done an amazing job of documenting a lot of the building layouts, some of the underground, interesting underground work that's been in installations that have been put in there. Why don't you give our listeners kind of a sense of how Wright-Patt developed as a physical location?
Well, first of all, the biggest claim to fame certainly is its namesake, the fact that it was named after Orville and Wilbur Wright, you know, the very, you know, inventors of motorized flight, and that they had one of their test fields at the very location. Now, granted, eventually they would accomplish that very first feat of flight at Kitty Hawk, not in Ohio, but nonetheless, they established their first military base of operation. They were contracted by the military, and they essentially had a test site, a test field, and then it adjoined with a storage depot, which eventually, during World War One, and they were able to provide a lot of, as far as mechanical parts, hardware for the military at that time, and then leading up to World War Two, where, as I described earlier, it eventually became two adjoining airfields, Wright Field and Patterson Field, and eventually it would take on as far as this most important persona as being the probably the most strategic military airfield in our arsenal. It's not only as far as with foreign technology, it had the Aeromed Biological Research Center. It had a lot of cold storage hangars where they were doing a lot of cold engine testing. They did a lot of crash testing. A lot of the astronauts, Neil Armstrong, for example, was trained at Wright-Patterson. John Stepp, who was known as the Rocket Man, and we all remember as far as that footage of that rocket sled speeding across as far as the desert down in the southwest, and his face all contorted from the G-forces. It's all being, you know, pulled back as he's, you know, exceeding the speed of sound.
I'll tell you what, if we don't do this, we're going to exceed speeds of sound, too. Donald Schmidt joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.